Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, friends. Thank you so much for joining us today. Welcome to episode 998, Signs with Adam. Well, it's a beautiful day here as we transition from summer to autumn. The nights have just changed that bit. It's a little bit cooler, but I can tell you the garden is still wet, friends. We have had so much rain. And as we speak, the flood cleanup continues. The volunteers up there around Lismore and Karaki and all of those areas are doing a great job. And my thoughts are really with these people. When I see how much they've lost, we look at our day-to-day problems, we've got no problems when we compare what these people have gone through. And there's people suffering in war, okay? We see a destruction of the existing order happening with the aim to install a new order. We'll talk about that. And of course, the big pharma medical cartel continues. And joining me today to talk about this and many other things is our friend Adam from the Kras Files. TheKrasFiles.com is his platform where he gets into everything, all sorts of different issues. Medical Mafia, he has excellent guests from time to time. And he's doing nightly news wraps, not every night, but regular news wraps. And I'm glad to have him join us today. Adam, thanks for taking the time.
No worries, man. Good to chat with you. We were chatting last year, weren't we? On my podcast there, and with your work and everything was happening and lockdowns and everything. So it's good to connect in 22, and
it is.
As we move forward and keep ourselves busy anyway in insane times. Really, and as you said, you had to sort of just sit down and do a basic nightly news wrap-up now because of the amount of information coming through, the trickery, almost sorcery going on, this scam, you know, this whole thing is really intensifying, and it's important that we stay aware and we stay on top of this, and we protect ourselves and those around us who we love, and we keep ahead of these people. That's the important thing, and knowledge is a big key now, but it's a crazy start to 22, mate, and I'm sure there's a lot to cover today. I just incrementally do it. There's too much, so I like to just plug in whenever and go over what's in front of me and kind of stick to the moment because we're just seeing so much. It's great to go over history, but there's so much happening now, I feel like it's really important to cover, yeah.
Exactly. And you're right, it's very difficult to keep track of all of the different components of this octopus, often referred to as octopus system that's, you know, developing around us. Let me kick off with a couple of statements from history, which will set the table for us. Bertrand Russell, in his book, The Impact on Science of Science on Society, on page 50, he said that, and this was written in 1953, he said that diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. And any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. And I often think about these people like, you know, Russell and people like H.G. Wells that said that, you know, countless people are going to die protesting against the New World Order. They were written in 1939, 1953, around this period where these sort of inside players that knew that this plan was well underway, what they wrote was so pertinent, so exact to what's happening today. I mean, think about this in the light of this whole COVID scam. You know, what he said was that diet and injections, you know, intervening in people's lives is going to be about this program to make people's characters for authorities, you know, a psychological program. And that's what it is. You know, let's start off on COVID on pause with the question mark. And if I'd like to spend a few minutes because I believe you were down there, and I was down there for two weekends. I think I was on the 6th and the 12th, and just reliving a little bit of that experience. And did it have an effect on the program? Take it where you want, mate. What are your thoughts on that COVID on pause, where we are?
It's interesting, and you just reminded me then of an Aldous Huxley one as well, what you were saying, you know, and what he predicted in his work. He said, making people love their servitude and producing dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies so that people will in fact have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather enjoy it because they will be distracted away from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. And this seems to be the final revolution. And that's kind of what I'm seeing really at the moment. You know, it really is on pause, isn't it? There's not much happening, mate. Not much happening at all, to be honest. People are just going on with their daily lives. They think everything's okay. A lot of people are planning holidays with the families and things like that. It's kind of all washed away, hasn't it? It's really amazing.
Well, it's interesting because, like, a lot of people have got different views on this, and I don't mind if you differ with me or anyone else on these points, but, like, a lot of people believe that, like, there's some people that believe protesting doesn't do any good, right? In other words, that the program's laid out, you know, the government signed up to it, we got the documents, we know the names, we know what they're doing, so we understand the blueprint. But the question is, like, does protesting, like, make a difference, right? And just before I went to Canberra, I took a podcast, recorded a podcast called Turning Point Canberra, because I just sensed that the mood of the protests all around the country were culminating in this, around these 2 week period. And it was interesting that after that, a lot of these mandates begin to, like, fall away, right? The timing of it. Now, I think they're only on pause, but I'll just share a little bit of the Canberra experience from my own perspective. Like, I really went just to be with the people and to experience, you know, to protest, of course, but I wanted to be with our people, you know. And for me, it was such a cultural event. It was great. Like, it was so good because everyone I met, we were all of one mind. We all wanted freedom. It didn't matter what our backgrounds were or anything else. And there was such a feeling of camaraderie. I mean, admittedly, there is obvious divisions that exist amongst political players and aspirations and ways forward and all that. And, you know, I saw some of those divisions, but it was just such a good experience. And what I realised was these psychopaths have locked everyone down for 2 years and denied us any cultural interaction. And that was an event, or any of these protests or events, like, where you have that cultural interaction. In the past, it could have been, I don't know, if people go to the football or a rodeo or a camp draft, my history, show, country show. It was something where people come together, different backgrounds, but you enjoyed one thing together, a culture, like part of your culture. And that was what I experienced in Canberra. Like, it was great. And then after, you know, started to be able to go to shops, you know, all of a sudden you're not having a fight about a mask everywhere you go. So I think there was a turning point. But for me, Adam, it was just a great cultural experience to be involved in at this time in history.
You're talking about the big Canberra protest?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we were there as well. Huh. Mm. There you go. Yeah,
well, I knew you were there. I was looking out for you, but couldn't see you.
I should have worn my Crassfiles cap. I would have been the only one. my friend Nadine, who's the president of the AVN, yeah, she had a little place there, and someone backed out, so we stayed at a cabin there. We went for the weekend, and I agree with everything that you've said there. And I was the exact same way, exactly the same. I went there to be with the people. I went there to be part of that event. So it was everything that you've said there is exactly how I felt, and it was an incredible day with everybody. I was one of the people that got sick after that, though. And so that wasn't anything that I've ever had, you know. I had that burned throat. So I have been looking into that a little bit. That may be another show, but outside of that, It was a fantastic day. It was just unbelievable to see people from all over the country there together, and there was a great energy and vibe, and it was incredible. I haven't been there for so long, and it was just amazing to walk up with all those people with the trucks behind you and all the red flags and everything, and all the kids and everyone just together as one big community. You could turn around anywhere and poke a stick and have a conversation like this with anyone there. Everyone just got it. And, you know, everyone was there just for the same reason, as you said. And it was amazing to trek up to that big Masonic pyramid, wasn't it? That big pyramid there. Incredible, with the black police forces out the front and everybody down facing, you know, the old parliament with their backs to that one. But what a sham that place is, that place. Boy, but interesting place. And Canberra's a strange place. I had that feeling. You know, of course, when you go in there, all you can get is 666 ABC radio. That's all they allow you to listen to there. If anyone doesn't know, it's actually 666, the Canberra radio, and it's all propaganda, you know, and all the locals seem to disappear. You know, they weren't anywhere. So it's a kind of a strange, I can imagine when we all leave, it's very quiet and the people there are kind of under some kind of mind control. It's sort of like, I don't know, the Truman Show set or something. It's very weird there. People were saying there was cameras in trees and things. I don't know what's going on that place, but that day, that event was amazing. We own the whole place, everybody, and we just took it over, and there's nothing they could do except just let it go. And it was fantastic to be part of that. And it is interesting how after that things started to fall away. And, you know, to answer your question there, I do think the protests have effect. I do. And I look at them, say, last year or when I was going to them in Sydney, they were tiny and no one knew, but I think we have to start somewhere, and I think they are important because they're leading us to different events and more intense events. And now you go to the protests and people are starting to bring up things you didn't hear before. And I think they're moving forward, but whether they're actually going to change this whole system, this great global reset that they're intent on, you know, bringing in, I don't know about that, but all we can do is try, and I think these events are important because it does show the world and everyone around we're here, you know, and I think they really are important for everybody to get down there and go. So, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a fantastic time. I wouldn't change it for anything. It was unbelievable that day, mate. It was an ocean of people. You know, it was fantastic.
And the good thing was it was coinciding with what was happening in Canada at that time. We'll touch on that in a moment. But let's take a quick glimpse of what we're experiencing now. Like, even though the whole COVID mandate program is like on pause, we've got these operatives always in the press coming out saying Aussies need a fourth COVID shot before winter. We've got this army, COVID army, you covered it on your platform, going door to door, testing symptom-free Australians. I mean, my view is that they've hit the pause button, but they're going to bank the gains that they've got. In other words, they've got all these mandates on the books now. They can basically any time just throw them back out again. But they're seeding the idea of these new variants. I mean, you can't keep track of these new variants. You've probably got a lot better grip on this than what I have, but even if you go back, or you go back as far as you want, they've always got a new variant. Israel claimed a new COVID-19 variant back, this is in the beginning of March. And so they've got this BA2 or whatever it was, whatever it is, I don't really care, but they've also got this COVID's angle. And it's interesting because I got my job back a couple of weeks ago, which is fantastic. I'm so glad. And I do drive night shift up and down the highway. And often I listen to things as I'm driving, of course, podcasts and different stuff. And I notice on YouTube, there's ads that keep popping up about getting tested for AIDS. Right? Let's clean up AIDS. We've got to get rid of it. So there's this whole new angle happening here in the background, which has the potential to become the next crisis. What are your thoughts? Adam, on that, on that, on the variants and this AIDS push and all this.
Well, none of these viruses are real. AIDS was not real, of course, we know that. It's just interesting they've brought it up, and I covered this last night. There's a lot in this, it's very deep, but it's interesting they've brought it up, because in itself, AIDS was an immune-type wasting disease, wasn't it, turning into, you know, HIV to AIDS. And people who they told, people who thought they had that had to take a lot of drugs to keep it from turning into AIDS and all of this. They spooked and scared the population so much with that. It's interesting they've brought in the AIDS again. And now, as you said, they're calling it VAIDS. So it's a vaccine-induced AIDS. So this is what I think we're talking about with you. And we say so much that the inoculations trigger the real pandemic. I've always said this. Doctors say this, so, you know, I think that's what's coming. I hate saying it and, you know, everything, but I feel like we could be, you know, we're going to see a tsunami, a tidal wave of illness and, you know, sickness. I'm already seeing it. Because I know a lot of people and families around me who are getting those jabs, and they were okay last year and into this year even, and now they're starting to get sick all the time. They're constantly testing positive for COVID, and they're always at home. Their kids are. Dad's not feeling too well. He just can't get up and around like he used to. All this kind of stuff. It's like people who aren't having immediate reactions or dying straight away or getting sick straight after or after the booster or after the second shot or whatever it is, just people who have had two seem to be not as well as they were last year. And this is very interesting. And I'm just wondering if this is going to build, and this is going to be obviously what you said there, the new kind of pandemic of people being so sick, you know, after taking these injections. And it is really interesting what you say there as well, because they kind of packed up the whole circus freak show a little bit. And then they sort of, yeah, why are they kind of pushing these boosters when I've not met one person who wants them. Most Australians don't want a booster shot, and now they're pushing a fourth. And we had Birla, the big CEO of Pfizer, come out. I played it. We were all talking about it. There was articles on it. He came out and said the Pfizer jabs really have little to no effect. They're basically not going to protect you from anything. And now he's come out and pushing a fourth shot. So it's really crazy, but I think we're going to see a big game change here. I think we're going to see a big change here. I covered it last night. I think this is where we're going to start seeing all the technology come into play. And there's a lot in this. We know Greg Hunt is stepping down, but his family's very tied up, according to Cairns News. And that caused a bit of controversy with the graphene oxide mining. And we know Queensland Premier Palaszczuk, that her father is in genetic storage companies. And all of this that's happening. And we know, according to Tot News, and I covered this last night, construction is about to begin on Australia's first mRNA manufacturing facility through Moderna. This is millions of dollars. You should see these facilities. And the deal has been signed. And they're going to be manufacturing all these new mRNA injections. So what for? What's going on here? And that's what I was talking about last night. It's too deep to go into, basically, this whole thing where I think they kind of got the cure in a way. I think that people are going to, you see, they're telling you, oh, you're going to need a third booster and a fourth booster. We're not going to be pin cushions. I can't see people getting these continuous shots. But, you know, maybe they might have to, mate, in a way, if you know what I mean. Maybe they might have to. So, you know, I was talking about this antidote thing last night. If people start becoming sick and, you know, they might have to start taking these new mRNA jabs just to keep themselves alive, basically. That's another aspect here. But as I was saying there, I think that we're going to see the technology side of this great reset start rolling in, and Australia's going to be at the forefront here, and you won't be able to miss it. Where did, you know, don't forget, people, that what Andrews did in Victoria and what they've been doing, they've been taking all our samples, our DNA samples, through these tests, and they're still doing it. And where did all this go? There was even articles in The Guardian and of all the missing samples. Where did all our samples go? You know, Daniel Andrews, you know, cornered people like rats down there. He almost forced them into testing. Hundreds of thousands of people got those tests, and all their tests, where did they go? So they're working on it, Leon. They're working on it now. This is, as I was saying last night, this isn't just, there was a flu pandemic and the pharmaceutical corporations were rushing and panicking to get out a jab for us, and it was the best they can do. This technology is, this has been here for a long time. They had all this planned. This technology inside these jabs, we don't even know half of it, or if that at the moment. There's more coming out every day. But this is too deep just to think that they just came up with this on the spot. No way. This is planned, it's intentional, and there's more coming. And they admit with Moderna and these plants they're building in Australia, there's dozens of these jabs coming. Well, what for? You know, and it's all about helping us and all of this. If you read the articles, and I can send them through to you. I think that this is, and they're saying that they're going to be employing hundreds of people at these facilities. And this is a 10-year partnership with these things. And this was this is one of the very interesting articles that popped up, I think, for me, because I think I can see this. I mean, the Australian government is sending $24.5 billion on this kind of stuff. They're talking about 44 new products coming, and they're talking here about what you said about combating HIV and these new respiratory type virus symptoms people are going to have. So this is very interesting to me as well. I think that we're moving into the technology side of this now, mate. I think that's where it's going. I think enough people have had the jabs. They're not worried.
Yeah, amazing. And the corruption is so deep. I mean, you're talking about tens, hundreds of billions of dollars worldwide between, you know, being funneled through these really criminal cartels calling themselves governments to these major corporations like Moderna. Like you said, billions of dollars to set up this thing. But this company had not made anything before the last year, the year before. They're just basically a startup, right? So billions of dollars all around the world get funded. Thank you, Trump, and lead the way with your Operation Warp Speed and all that caper. And our government stand here following suit, you know, completely, as though we need, you know, this continual round of injections. Going back to my earlier quote by Bertrand Russell, this was a plan. This has been a plan for many decades that the medical cartel would form this controlling fabric of this new world order. And of course, there's lots of different players in this new world order, but what we see at the moment, as you've touched on, is this merger of the medical cartel with digital ID and big tech. And of course, these will combine together the way we see this going. But think about this. I mean, last week, the Premier, Perrottet, comes out and he says that mandatory QR check-ins and school rat programs were only a media stunt. Right? I hope that this did undergo the mask mandate and the QRs. I really hope that. But if you did, or to share with your family, he said in a presser that there was no science at all behind the check-ins or the rat tests. He said it was a media stunt. And listen to this. We know this, but this is an amplification, right, for our audience. Perrottet told the audience, for anyone who thinks there's a left-right here and, you know, that this the right's better than the left, you know, so Perrottet gets the job, everyone goes, oh, he's going to open up, everything's going to be wonderful. Listen to this, folks. Perrottet told the audience he worked together with Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews. So they conspired. This is a conspiracy fact that Perrottet and Andrews worked together to formulate an approach to would combat the media's fear campaign and avoid their criticism, even if there was no science behind it at all. In other words, the whole program is based on making the people compliant. That's all it is. The whole program is a control program. It's a psychological operation to make we the people compliant to state mandates or behind them, the medical cartel, worldwide global medical cartels mandates. And further to that, Adam, there is this, I'm not sure what this stage is at, maybe you can talk to this, this global pandemic response thing that the WHO's running, that where it wants to run the global pandemic responses from the World Health Organization in the future, so that basically it's your last vestige of, I don't think we've got any sovereignty, but anyway, no sovereignty of any individual nation. In other words, you can't have nations making their own decisions. If there's going to be a mask mandate, it's going to be global. I mean, this is what they want, isn't it? This global control over the nations, taking away the people's ability to say, hang on to the government, no, you're out of line, we're going to pull you back into line. That's what these global agreements are all about. Where is that up to? Do you know, Adam?
No, we were talking about that a little bit about the WHO and that how they, yeah, we know about these, you know, what's happening in Queensland at the moment, these emergency health orders, and that's how they've, you know, she wants to, you know, Daniel Andrews extended them, he made his own up, so he can implement, you know, pandemics whenever he wants to and lock everybody down. That's what we've been struggling through, and she's trying to do this in Queensland to extend the Health Act orders, you know, the Emergency Health Act orders, which in the US they've taken down. But we did hear that they're working on this now, that they want a global kind of thing. I don't know if we're signed on to that. I'm not sure, but they're definitely working on that now where, as you said, it will be a global thing. And if the masks go back on, it happens globally. If the lockdowns come, it's all globally, like it's more structured and stricter. So I don't know where that is going at the moment, but to even hear them talking about that, you're like, whoa, you know. And you know, these kinds of lockdowns could apply to anything, and especially, you know, new climate lockdowns, if anything, you know, weather warfare, things that we're already going through, you know. They already had a type of a climate lockdown in Brisbane area, you know, with the floods. She you know, shut all the schools down and stuff like that. So they're implementing the idea, and all this is just training. So I think I've said this last year with the basic lockdowns. Well, people were still working at home. They didn't mind too much. They just said stay in your house. I think that was the training for what's really coming, the real lockdowns. You know what I mean? And so. Definitely, you know, it's very interesting. And, but, oh boy, you know, going back to what you said there, I covered that with the New South Wales Premier as well. I covered that and played the clip. It's almost unbelievable. I mean, it doesn't shock us so much, although we sit there and go, you know, my God. But I mean, I don't know if most Australians are even watching that. I don't know how they can miss it. And I don't know what they're saying. I don't know what they're thinking about that, but it was quite incredible. I pushed it out as far as I could. But here you have the New South Wales Premier basically coming out after terrorising people last year in Sydney, and what, you know, the former Premier did, Berejiklian, terrorised people, put military on the streets. Don't worry, they won't put military up to help people in flood-affected areas. They'll ignore you. But they put military on the streets, choppers, police helicopters telling people to get inside, police attacking people, threatening this whole... It was all a bluff, you know, and they used fear. And it was absolutely incredible. And then he comes out, you know, to the press and basically says that there's zero science behind the QR code. And we know that. It's absolutely ridiculous and it's illegal. But for him to come out and admit that, there's no science behind it. And the only reason we basically did that and the rat testing, mind you, folks, rat. I mean, my God, rat. With the kids going back to school was basically, as you said, Leona, a media fear stunt. It was because the media scared everybody, and the government is saying now that it wanted to install confidence in the people, and so it brought those QR coding back. But, you know, and we just want people to go out and spend money and go out and have a beer, you know? So we want you to, if you feel comfortable using the QR code to go into the stores, even though it's not working anymore and it doesn't mean anything or go anywhere, you continue to do that because we want you to feel safe and comfortable, you know? And so we have a situation now in Sydney where people are still wearing masks. They're still QR coding. The shops where I am still have them up on the windows and it doesn't work. So we are running the system. We are running the system now in a lot of ways. People are absolutely doing it. There's people with masks at the beach yesterday. I took the little one around the rock pools, you know, and there's a family with masks on, you know, and all this. You see little kids with the masks on. So it's very interesting. I don't have it in front of me, but there was a very interesting quote when ScoMo was talking about this, and he basically said, you know, he basically kind of said, well, there's no need to enforce it really anymore because people are just doing it anyway. And it was a really funny thing. You may know that quote, but it was very interesting. You sort of said, well, you know, people are kind of doing it anyway. So this is the whole thing. And as we know, these Freemasons, this is what they do. They need to tell you what they're doing. They need to inform us what they're going to do to us, you know, and we accept that. It's like a contract through watching the TV content and everything. And that's what they've done, you know, and a lot of people, unfortunately, have been sucked into this spider's web. And the sad thing is, to make a little quick side note, it's very sad. I do know some families who got these jabs and their lives have been a misery since that. And I don't have any and I've been living normally, you know, as best I can. I mean, they got two Pfizer jabs and now they're getting tested all the time. They're constantly being told they got the virus. They're constantly isolating at home. They haven't been feeling well. Their Christmas holidays were ruined. Now they're isolating again. They're wearing two masks. And I'm like, didn't you get the jabs? Why are you wearing two masks? It's just absolutely insane. Their life's hell, you know, and now they're sick again. And you're like, oh my goodness me. But unfortunately, that's where we're at the moment. But I think the sort of theme today that is really interesting is, isn't this really interesting how they kind of packed all this away and now they're admitting on TV that this doesn't work and that doesn't work and there was no need for it and everything like that. But in the background of all this, there's still that threat, isn't there? They're still keeping that fear there. So we could bring the mask back. We could lock you down. There's a new Deltacron variant. There's another variant. That's still bubbling up in the background. But at the same time, they're pretending to take everything down and all our lives are normal again. So you've got the fear and you've got people basically in limbo. They don't know, should I be normal and live my life again? Or is this all going to come back again? And as you said, this is a psychological operation. It's hammer blowing people with psychological blows to the head until people get broken down to such a level where they just absolutely, completely and totally submit to this system. That's what they want. Complete, total and utter control where you just do what you're told. They don't like fragments of society going to protests and yelling things and standing up there. They don't like that, so they probably aren't finished yet. Maybe we're going to see more. I don't know. But I know a lot of people are treading water in society and they're not sure where their place is anymore because you've got both things happening. So and you've got, you know, obviously the war, the threat of wars, the floods, they're throwing everything into the bag to confuse the hell out of everyone now, to the point where no one's even talking about COVID now. It's all evil Vladimir Putin, you know? And so the distraction, the art of distraction is unbelievable with these people and how they do it. It really is incredible days.
I found this international treaty here on pandemic prevention and preparedness. It's got a little way to go. This basically on the 3rd of March, the EU sort of got this thing happening. It's going to the WHO. It's supposed to have its draft by the 1st of August 2022. And the idea is that it will be delivered to the 76th World Health Assembly to adopt the instrument as an international convention by 2024. So that's a little way off, but this is what they're working on in the background. I did see a petition against it on some Australian website not long ago on this. So this is the game of where they're headed. Now, just speaking about the media, touching on that, how the mainstream media really, they are the ones that are running the program in front of government. And it's so obvious when you study media and when you understand it, especially when, you know, you start doing your own media where you start evaluating things yourself and researching and looking at articles and studying what they're trying to say, and you listen to these news reports. And I can tell you, Adam, I keep saying to people, turn the television off, don't. Like, I even get nauseated watching clips, you know, on Telegram or somewhere else. I sort of don't want to listen to any of these people anymore, even with anything they're saying. Obviously, when you're doing alt media, you have to an extent, you have to do that to investigate it. But they are just such scum, these people. They hate us with such a hatred. It's just amazing. But yet these people are hold some sort of demigod status in society. I'm amazed at how, these media personalities that run the program. I'll just mention one here, this Natalie Barr on Sunrise. Now, look, I don't know anything about it, but, you know, I see all the time she's being persecuted and this, and people have anti-vaxxers are targeted, all that. I go to a supermarket the other day, something I don't do much, but my wife was away visiting her mother in Melbourne, so I had to go in and get a few things. And as I'm coming out, I see all these magazines on the left, and lo and behold, it's all about this woman. Every other magazine's about Natalie Barr crying or her new life. And I'm thinking, what's this got to do with anything? You know, but I think what it demonstrates is for the normies out there, they are controlled by this stuff. They are engrossed in these people and their message and their narrative, okay? And so let's pivot on that point to the war that's taking place in Russia and Ukraine. And you mentioned, touched on it briefly, how the media's pivoted from everything COVID. We got the floods here, but now it's all about the war and what's taking place there. It's interesting, isn't it? Because there's basically two paradigms set up. Most of the mainstream media are all running with this idea that we've got to stand with Ukraine. And even though there's military forces in there that are, crucifying people, torturing them, committing every sort of human rights abuse under the sun, we've got to stand with them, right? And sending our own mercenaries there, right? So we've got Australian media now saying it's wonderful that these people are getting AK-47s, handing them out in the street, okay? But they want to take them off us. But this is the absolute hypocrisy, right? Like for Christians listening, this is the leaven of the Pharisees, right, that Yahshua talked about. It's hypocrisy. So on one hand, they're taking guns off us. They don't want us to protest in Canberra. I mean, the day after the February 12 protest, the Canberra Times run an article saying that anyone with flying an Australian flag, their number plate should be reported to the ADF, okay? So basically pointing out there's a mainstream media saying that patriotic Australians that dare to protest are potential terrorists, okay? Well, at the same time, they're promoting people going over to Russia-Ukraine conflict and arming them. So you've got this side all, in behind the Jewish president of Zelensky, and he's being controlled by this Jewish oligarch, Kolomoisky, who owns a TV show that he was involved in where he was a school teacher and he ran for president and won it. So basically they wrote the history before it happened and then they made it happen. But then on the other side, you've got, a general, a lot of the alt-right going there, that Putin is good and that Russia's good and this intervention by Russia is good and all that. And so you've got this, basically you've got to choose between these two sides. Now, the mainstream media is against anyone on the other side, etc. So in analysing this, this is a very complex confrontation that's happening there. Unless you understand the history of Ukraine and Russia, which most people don't, most people haven't read any history books, but unless you understand it, you cannot understand the complexities that exist. In other words, you've got Jewish oligarchs in Ukraine, which are basically very much in control of much of the finance, and there's a lot of criminal cartel activity that overlays with government. But you have the same in Russia, basically the same. There is not like, it's not like Putin's run all the Jews out of Russia and only Ukraine's got the Jews. No. I mean, Putin's got his own rabbi, Viril Lazar of the Chabad-Lubavitch Hasidic faction, which are the most militant Hasidic Judaic group in the world. That's his rabbi. Putin's mother was a Jew. Right. He has the ability to be an Israeli citizen. Okay. Last month, on March, I'm sorry, not last month. I'm sorry, I got my dates wrong there. Some time ago, Putin awarded Chabad rabbi with the gold medal, right, on St. Petersburg's 300th birthday. And so the reason I'm making this point is this. We've got to be very careful, and I know you understand this, Adam, and like this is what we're trying to get through to our people. We have to analyze every issue and every war very carefully and not just jump on one side or the other. And so there's a lot of different subjects that come in on this, but I'll summarize it just here. My thoughts are that this new world order is a communist world order. That's what the way I understand it. You can call it fascist, communist, totalitarian, but it's basically world communism that's continuing. In my work, I trace it from Egypt to Babylon to Jerusalem to Russia. And Russia was the seat of international Jewry before the 1900s. And it was in Russia, of course, that the Red Bolshevik Communist Revolution took place and the Soviet experiment followed. And in my opinion, Putin is still communist, and if he does have any aims that world domination or controlling the new world order or whatever, you've got China, which are their their right hand, ally, if you like, which is communist. So you've got to open your eyes here and be very careful about where you jump on a lot of these issues. My attitude is caution, right? I don't want anyone ruling over me, and I don't want communism in my life, right? Or my country. And my first argument here is it's not Australia's fight. What are we involved in? Why are we over there? We shouldn't even be a part of these wars, okay? Now, these wars are made to destroy nations to further global power blocks of some description of another. So we're fighting a medical mafia down here, but there's a world hard war taking place there where there's factions fighting within factions for this, really for greater control over the world stage, as Brzezinski said, the global chessboard. So Adam, any thoughts on I've had a bit of a say here.
No, breaking up a bit there.
Is through it, but what and how affect us too, because that's another aspect. But go ahead.
You were breaking up there a little bit. You hear me okay?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Adam.
No, very good. Yeah. I'm listening to what your breakdown there. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with it, and it seems, with the whole Jewish thing, I mean, how can you deny this? Who's benefiting here? And I look at this whole Nazi thing now and everything. It's just unbelievable. And from day one, the media thing, I didn't believe any of it. It's absolute propaganda. Some of the stuff they're putting up and showing is just it's ridiculous. But I think just looking at this whole situation, to put it to put it in an easy way to understand, it's all part of the Great Reset. It's all part of the Great Reset. I think this is all part of it. And as you said, it's just unbelievable that our media or our government or anyone here is even involved in this. When we've got so much to worry about here. But here again, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sort of thinking, yeah, well, it's communism, but maybe it's Zionism, Judaism, I don't know. But it seems that the one side that is benefiting here is always Israel. Always. But they never get a mention. It's the evil Nazis. It's Hitler's evil. The Nazis are out to kill everybody, and now Putin's evil, and the Ukrainians are dying, and we have to sing songs and be on their side and everything. It's just, this is what Jews do. These people make movies, mate. They're absolutely, they do this so well. They make Hollywood movies. And people say, look, Jews control the world. Well, you know, in a way, I kind of think, well, what's going on in Israel? Because it's the most vaccinated country in the world, and we're here and they're getting 3 and 4 boosters and all this stuff. I mean, are they murdering their own people, or is that a sign? What's going on? But these people like Putin, this president of Ukraine, they're so tied up with the whole Jewish, politics and Israel itself, and these Zionist global elitist bankers, peoples. I mean, if you go back to World War One and World War Two, we talk a lot about that. What happened to Nazi Germany? Thomas Goodridge's book, Hellstorm. What they did to German cities and the people, the rape, the mass murder, the bombings, the destruction of Germany. The hatred behind that, the terror, and these monsters who were behind all this were all Jews as well. So the same system, if you look at that, for example, and the creation of these big banking systems and everything, but if you look at the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and these big families with so much power and money, if you look at all this, that same structure, that same system, that's been causing all this is still here today. And the funny thing is, like, I just look at Ukraine and Russia. I didn't even really get any interest from it. I'm sure people are suffering, and that's always terrible, you know. It really is. It's a terrible thing if anyone's suffering over there. But I know what the media are showing us and telling us is all propaganda. I mean, they're showing fake images. They're showing... Yesterday there was stuff went up where some woman, I don't know what her name was, in Ukraine, she posted a thing of Tasmanian firefighters. And she was saying that they were Ukrainian firefighters. And it was actually a picture from the fires down there in Tasmania in 21 or 20. We had this before where they were showing the same lady over and over and over again. And fighter pilots, that wasn't real. They're showing us all these people lying on the street. They're supposed to be dead. So you, really, this is what happened in it with Saddam Hussein, with Syria. Remember the gassing his own people and all of this, Colonel Gaddafi, you know, these monsters, they're killing their own people and all of this. I think it's all staged. I think the whole thing's fake. And as I said, these Jews make movies, they're good at it. And I don't think anything's really happening. If they are bombing things, I don't live there, so I have no idea. All we know here in Australia is what the media are showing us. And you can go on every single channel any time of the day, and it's all the same footage. They speak the same tones, the same movements, everything. They're telling you the same thing. Yep. And so really I've got to go deep into alternative media to try and find out what's going on here. But if anyone were to ask me, I'd say that Putin and this guy, this Jewish leader in Ukraine, they're all on the same team. They're being funded by the same people, and it's going to be the same outcome, and it's all part of the great global reset. And the people behind these people, whatever this is, boy, they got some power. And I don't know if we can actually stop it at the end of the day, because it seems to be going through whether we like it or not. But the whole Ukraine thing, with what's happening in Australia, I've been concentrating on that with the floods and what they're doing here as we get distracted, because once we're looking that way, they're bringing in all sorts of tricky things here. I'm trying to keep a handle on that. But I look at what you were talking about there and the whole situation. And all I would say to myself and the listeners is, who benefits from this? Who benefits from this? Well, it's Israel and Jews. And that's just a simple fact. And you can see there's a clip here I'm watching from the Tribune as well. You can see playing both sides, Jews wave Russian flags and Ukrainian flags while dancing. And there's a video on it. So you know what I mean? It's just amazing that this true kind of enemy never gets a mention. And just quickly as well, we've been discussing very much about the technology behind the jabs and also the technology behind 5G. It's all coming from Israel. And not just the technology, the idea behind it. And I'm talking about the idea behind the technology that is put in these COVID-19 mRNA shots. Not just the graphene oxide and all this technology that's interacting and with the pulsing and the frequencies of the 5G that's basically going to turn people into walking antennas and connect them up to this new beast system of these new smart cities, but the actual intent behind this. This technology that we are seeing getting isolated from these jabs, it's all from Israel. The idea behind it, that's what's just like, whoa. You know, that is absolutely unbelievable. It's an unbelievable thing. And now this, same people behind it in my book. Who's behind them? I don't really know at the end of the day. We've been trying to break it down, but it's very interesting times. And again, the same bunch of people keep popping up as you brought up there. The same people.
Oh, and you've got this Jewish professor, Dr. Yuval Harari, you know, basically saying and announcing to the world that humans are hackable animals. And
that's,
I mean,
right.
this idea of freedom to choose governments and freedom to get what you want in the supermarket, that's over.
Go on.
These people are announcing. They're announcing exactly what they are. But let me quickly answer something you mentioned, which is it fits together. And I might just add for our audience, this is why Adam's Media is very important, as well as what others do, because we can only focus on so much, and we tend to have different interests and different talents. And what you'll find is with alt media, a lot of media will try and cover on different areas, different focus. And my listeners here, we know that my focus has been more the cultural, religious change, if you like, or religion and cultural changes that have affected all of us in the development of this system. But just going back to this, my thesis, and I'll just a couple of quotes here, then we'll talk about tech in the future. This is from Rabbi Harry Watton, written in 1939. Judaism is communism. And this is my thesis, that the communist system we have goes back thousands of years in development. It's only recently been labelled as communism, but it's basically totalitarian world control. And its history is the development of Judaism, coming from Egypt, Babylon, Jerusalem to Russia, and then New York to today, right? So whatever. So Judaism is communism, internationalism. And that's why the aim is to destroy national identity with global ID, you know. So that's why patriotism is basically demonized, because this system is an international system. The universal brotherhood of man, the emancipation of the working class, and human society. It is with these spiritual weapons that the Jews will conquer the world and the human race. And so that's Rabbi Harry Watton, 1939. Now, in 1933, in the Jewish World publication, they wrote this: the great ideal of Judaism is the whole world be imbued with Jewish teachings, and that a universal brotherhood of nations, a greater Judaism, in fact, all the separate races and religions shall disappear. And so there's a little bit of a background of Judaic aims as far as the tool of communism goes. And I'll finish with this one. This is Morris Samuels from the book You Gentiles. He said, "We Jews, we the destroyers, will remain the destroyers forever. Nothing that you do will meet our needs and demands. We will forever destroy because we need a world of our own, a God world which it is not in your nature to build." So there's a lot more, but I'll leave that there, because my thesis basically is that over thousands of years this system has been developing. It's a Judaic system, and it is a package today as basically modern communism. We saw what it did in Russia, the experiment there, and their aim to make this happen all over the world in the same way. So when we look at war, we see that war is their job, right? They destroy, okay? They this is not my words, ladies and gentlemen. This is what they have written, that we are the destroyers. Now, why do they want war? Because they want to build a new order. When you destroy something, you build something new, right? So that's what's happening. But so let's turn our attention, Adam, to technology for a few more minutes here while we're together, and talk about the direction of where this is going. I know you've done a lot of work on this whole idea of the digital ID. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? You've got these doctors all the time that people are interviewing. I forget all their names. I can't recall them all here, but the alt media interviewing, and they're all talking about all the dangers that are in these jabs, right? The graphene oxide, the luciferase. You're more on top of all this than what I am. But how all of these things, every single one of them has a potential in some way to damage human health and destroy people's lives. But there's a lot bigger picture. It's about changing people's minds, not just our physical biology, but it's about merging. This is the aim, the ultimate aim, merging technology so that people are totally controllable. We talked about a while ago how DARPA had, and we got the clip here we've used many times, where they said they had developed the Funvax, and they had this vaccine that they injected soldiers with when they come back from war. They had no memories of anything bad that happened, completely erased. So these people have been working on these things for years, Adam. Let's talk about where this is going, the direction of where this high-tech merging with humanity is going.
Yeah, it's a deep one, isn't it? Covered this last night a bit, or just doing it in incremental doses. But basically, where I'm going is it's basically transhumanism, merging humans with technology. But it's not going to be like the Terminator where you peel back the skin and there's machines under there. It'd be more like the new Blade Runner type thing, you know. People will be human but have no souls anymore. I think that's where they're going. And I think that we're just living in part of the test now. And millions, hundreds of millions, maybe billions will die because of this. But they are working on this and they are perfecting these inoculations. They're going to get better at it as they take our DNA and they work all of this out. And the amazing thing as well is that we have been told by our so-called medical authority since we were kids that more than 90% of our DNA is rubbish. And, you know, whatever little part of DNA we have, they understand and they've worked all that out. And really, it's no more important than the DNA of a moth or something like that. So don't worry, because most of your human DNA is rubbish. But it seems to me that there's been a war on us. And I definitely think, and as I was talking about last night, I definitely think there's been an intervention here. We're being fed on. And this is this is not an alien thing with spaceships. This is an interdimensional thing, I feel. We are being fed on by something here, a predator of man that is very cunning. This is very deep. And there's a lot of scholars and authors who have talked about this, and it's just very interesting to me. But I think now, if you look throughout history, it's all been about fear. They've incrementally broken us down. They've attacked us every single way that you look. We've been under attack. And I think that this is a war on our soul now. And I think we're in the final stages here. I think that's where we're going now. I think that we're at the point now where humanity either gets spooked and wants to go back, you know, to the lives that we know and we had, back to natural law, back to God, or we go over into this other realm, into this abyss of this digital, you know, dystopian hell, because that's what it's going to be, and that's what they're creating. And I look at these jabs and people getting these jabs, I can't believe it. These people around, people that I know and speak to, they don't even know anything about it. They don't even know what they were given. And I'm like, do you know anything about what was injected into you? Do you know what kind of technology this is? Do you know the dangers, the ramifications of... Nah. The fear of getting a fake virus far outweighs any common sense with these people. And this is where the media come in. The media are basically controlling people's minds here. And they're just not able to think for themselves anymore. You know, they're not in the driver's seats of their lives anymore. They're completely under mind control, and they're so scared that themselves and their kids are going to get a virus that they'll do anything, even give up their souls. This really is like the fairy tale stuff of being pricked in the finger by the spindle and dropping down dead or going to sleep. They're really been showing us. The Jews make movies. And look at Frankenstein. All this movie content is done for a reason, and the zombie content as well. Make no mistake. The zombie content that we've been hit with for 10 years, they're telling you in plain sight what they're going to do to you. This is what they do. They have to tell you what they're going to do to you so you accept it at a deep level, subliminally, subconsciously. That goes in, and you contract with these people if you don't say anything. You have to say no. They can't do this to you if you say no. They're getting people through fear. The media are using fear to get you to go down and take that prick in the arm yourself. You did it. And if you get sick, hey, buddy boy, sorry, you did it to yourself. We didn't do anything. And if you think about it, they didn't. They just manipulated you with fear to go and do it to yourself. This is what this system does. And if you stand up and say, no, I'm not taking this. No, absolutely no. And you don't contract with them. Well, then you'll be like us and you'll move through and you can learn to navigate here. But looking at all of this and what they've done to people and these jabs and how the new jab, they're already talking about new technology and they're working on this and they're taking our DNA. If 95% of our bloody DNA was junk, right, and they weren't concerned, well, why are they doing this? Why are they so concerned with who we are and what makes up us up and all this coding? You know what I mean? And our immune systems. And I look at the assault on us human beings, the sprays in the air, the normal vaccines they give our kids, the food, the water, everything has been an assault to incrementally break us down. And they're at the point now where I think this is an attack on our very genetic makeup. And what really scares me is they're going for what we call the God gene. And what makes sense here to me, and what others have been talking about, if you have a look at it, we're all connected through our heart center. You know, our heart is connected to everything. And when your body dies and your consciousness moves into this other realm or afterlife experience, we can see that this is where they're kind of trying to go after in my book. And when your heart stops pumping, that's the end of your body's life, right? And if you have a look at what are these jabs doing? They're giving people heart attacks, blood clotting, strokes, all of the damage that I've investigated and looked at. It's pretty much all centers around the heart. They are attacking our heart. And what does that mean? Well, they're going after our very soul. And people who say this can't happen, I don't know. Because I think there's genetic coding. There's information in us that we are not aware of. And this is why this system is distracting us away all the time so we don't realize who we really are. We forget. And it's not like it's not there. It's just we've forgotten about it. But now I think they want to steal it. They really want to take it away. And I think this is what they're really working on with these jabs. And I think that people are going to eventually have no connection to their own souls, their consciousness. I just think they're just going to be vessels, you know what I mean? And this is why they seem to be concentrating on young people. Because I think eventually, if these jabs are concentrating in people's testes and ovaries and everything that we're hearing, and it's going to make people sterile, this is incredible. And as young kids get born into this, if they do get born into this and their mothers had these jabs, and this is going through now, and these kids, I think that sooner or later, our bodies, young bodies are going to start taking with this technology. It's going to start connecting with this technology as they get better with this. And this is where they're moving out as all the elderly people and all of us possibly die off after having the jabs. That's what they want. That's why they killed all the elderly people in the nursing home. Get rid of them. They don't want them here anymore. They're useless eaters. They're focusing on this transition over into this transhuman-like society that's on the way. We're all going to be hooked up into this. And that's where I see they're going. I think they're going after the God gene, mate. I think they're going after our very souls now with this technology. I may be wrong. It's just how I see it, you know. And that's where I think this technology is going. To basically the whole transhumanism thing, I think that's where it's going. They're trying to steal our souls, and that's why I keep saying this is a war on us and our souls. This is not just bombing cities anymore. You know what I mean? They don't have to come in and bomb cities anymore and blow people up with guns and bullets, because people go up to these places and line up to be injected with war. They just inject it into you now, and then they just turn up the frequencies, the microwave weapons. You know, you're not being a good boy in this new system, we'll just fry you. They can control people's minds with this new system and this new technology. And we've all seen what this graphene oxide does when it's put around these 5G frequencies and these phones. And I'd like to just quickly say, to go back to what you first said, the way that we have been trained and brought into this new system has been through these iPhones. That's how they've done it. The iPhones were not there for no reason. That is intentional. And I think that was the training tool. Sort of like, training wheels on a kid's bike. And then eventually you take those training wheels off and, whoa, they're not wobbling anymore and they're doing it. Those phones have introduced us into this new system. And I think we have to start, communities have to start getting rid of these phones. I don't know what else to say, Leon. I barely even have one. You know what? I don't even want it anymore. I feel like just throwing the thing in the bin. I don't want a phone contract, and I feel like, hey, if they're going to start burning these 5G towers in Mullumbimby and stuff, hey, why not? Let's get the pitchforks and lanterns out and start tearing down this as a community, because this is a weapon, and these 5G weapons, they're going everywhere, man, all around, and people can't see it. They're living in a dream world. They can't see the sprays over their head. They don't know what they were injected with. They're not looking at these towers. They're not understanding the media. They're not seeing the weaponized environment around them and where this is going and the future that we could be looking at for our own children. And so people just don't have that gut instinct anymore, that will to fight and stand up and fight back. And they're just going with the flow now. And that worries me, obviously, very deeply, especially when we're seeing so many people getting these jabs still and still getting tested and still being ultimately controlled by this whole virus scam. And that's just done through fear.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look at this progression of these things, it was back in November 2, the FDA approved a pill with sensors that digitally tracks if patients have ingested their
That's
medication.
Right.
So for
yes.
5 years, they've been using these different applications that actually speak back to control center, right? And so with all of the information that different experts and doctors are sharing with us, that's what this new vaccine technology is about. It is about, you know, making the human body a transformer, you know, a beacon, which is not just for tracking, but it's about monitoring your biology, every aspect of your life, including your thoughts.
Yep.
If your thoughts are against something you just saw on your smartphone, it will register that, right? And it's interesting, it's a program coming out of Singapore from the DQ Institute, and they've got this program that's called eSmart Digital License for Children, and they're talking about how Oceania, including Australia, is pioneering digital skills by embracing the DQ Global Standard. Now, I didn't even know what DQ meant. I know what IQ means, but DQ means digital intelligence. And so this is what they are doing with the children. They're preparing them by running them into these programs where they develop this digital intelligence, of course, away from the parents, right? And this is what it's about. It's really about moving the parental influence in the family and taking the child into this digital state-sponsored communist world. That's what it's about, my words, summary, where they're having this digital DQ global standard that they're wanting all these schools to accept, right? Now, it's not hard to see how the governments, the so-called governments, which I just think they're just all psychopaths and criminals, the whole lot of them, how they just allow all these things to happen. I listened to an interview the other day with George Christensen, who is a current member. And, you know, I listen for various reasons because I want to hear their take on different things. And he's on his way out. He basically said the system's broken. He's been there for however long, I don't know. But he said, you know, what happens is that you get a piece of paper or a package on your desk. And I'm relaying this for our audience, you know, that this is basically the way government works. And then in that package is a 300-page document about the new DQ. These are my words, not his, but I'm just using this as an example. As the new DQ, you know, children's technology idea. And it's going to be voted on tomorrow, you know. And you get this package at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and this is what's going to happen. Now, there's no talk about it. There's no discussion. And of course, what are these people going to do? These people are all trained and owned in some way by other people, other organisations, other interests. And just as an example of the way this works, I mean, Facebook has announced through this company it started up called Meta that it is going to be training politicians, right? that it is going to coach Australian politicians about the spread of misinformation and aspects of cyber security, and they are going to coach what they call influencers, which are politicians and media people, media advisors among the political class, all these people, to stop the spread of misinformation. So this is the way it works, Adam. These corporations are completely entangled with government. The corruption, the money that changes hands is billions of dollars that, basically are all moved around about developing this global digital space net. Oh, that's not the right word. You might know what it is, but this whole grid. And we're well along the way. In fact, Russia is using, for those who think that they're the way forward, Russia's using facial recognition now, as is Ukraine. A lot of these countries that we might think are further behind us are actually in advance of us. There's information that come out that a lot of facial recognition was being used at Canberra at the rallies, and that's why there was a lot of high-tech digital activity happening there, as well as the LRAD systems and everything else. But Adam, we're well advanced, and I don't see any pause on this New World Order or this medical cartel at all. I see it as a pause, but I think it's only it's a psychological operation. They've hit us hard. They're giving us a bit of relief now, but I think they're going to come back harder at the next phase, whatever that is.
Yeah, well, Elon Musk is bringing in the Starlink satellites, isn't he? To Lismore and everywhere on top of all these these situations. So he's popping his head up out of nowhere. He's in, he's over in Ukraine now. He's popped up in Australia. People are saying, "Give us your Starlink." So this is where they're going to put all the 5G, and beyond, all around us, to connect us up, to connect us up that way. And this is the whole thing, isn't it? This is the whole. Really, it's really a tough situation because, in a way, we're so hooked up on the global internet. We're doing this now. We need our phones. We need people like us and our listeners. We use technology as a good tool, in a positive way. But they've got people, most of humanity, so hooked up on this. I don't know. People just can't give up. And we're going so deep now, and they really got us. They really got us with this technology thing, And I think even, as I said before, with the phones and the QR coding, I think that was just training people as well. I really do. I think that was nothing. I think if human beings are willing to QR code on their phones and hold their phone up and do that, then they know they've got you. And then they can bring in the new stuff that's coming into the smart city grids. Because if you're willing to do that, which I never did, I've never touched it, but most people were more than happy to do it, then the data gets crunched, who's going to get the jabs, whatever, and this all means something to them, you know what I mean? And so I think all that is being about training people, all the lockdowns, all this COVID thing that we saw mostly last year and all this stuff. I think it's all been training for what's coming. Training us into this new system, and I just can't see that people are willing to give up their phones. They're just too hooked. They're absolutely hooked on these phones now. I go out every day. I can't believe it. It's like that old funny joke about people walking into oncoming traffic on their phone. They really, they really are. And now there's young kids and school kids and young girls and that. When I drive past the bus stop in the morning, you see like 15, 25 people lined up waiting for the bus, and they're all wilted over with their heads bent looking into these screens, Everybody's on them all day. They can't get off them. You see people. They can't even spend time with their kids at the beach or the park. They're pulling it out. Dad's whipping it out of the pocket, whipping it out. And you see them put it back in, whip it out, put it back in, whip it out. They can't stop fidgeting with it. They put it down and they pick it back up. We're absolutely, totally hooked and addicted to these things. And believe me, folks, these smartphones, they're weapons. When you're carrying around that, you're carrying around a weapon. And I believe they can target you at protests and stuff if you're holding it. Through these pulsing and frequencies, they can target you through those phones. These are dangerous weapons, that we've become too accustomed to and too reliant on, it really is a worrying situation. We're in very, very troubling times indeed, and all I would say to people is, we just got to learn to navigate this system. There's always going to be ways around, and there's always going to be ways through. They always allow little ways to sneak through, but it's becoming so saturating. That, you know, these smart cities they want to bring in, you know, and look what they've done to Lismore and these places. I mean, how can that not be in people's faces? You know, flooding these people out and then basically coming out when these people don't even know what planet they're on and saying, you know what, don't rebuild there. We don't want you there anymore. Well, we're not going to offer you any help. It's, can't people see that we're under attack here and this has been done with intent? People still just have too much trust in their own governments and all this media and everything. They just can't believe that they would ever do this to them. They don't see that the government are just a bunch of actors standing up there just taking orders. ScoMo's a puppet. I've got a meme here with Klaus Schwab with this, you know, and he's using ScoMo as a puppet. That's all they are. They're just puppets. They don't run anything. They don't run anything in this country, and people need to wake up here. And I think, I hope to see anyway in places like Lismore that communities would say, you know what, F you, we don't want your help anymore, and we're going to start building back better our way, you know, and we're going to start rebuilding our community. Oh, we need our own banking system, we need our own schools, we need all this. And I am seeing that. I'm seeing teachers who are losing their jobs, and they're creating these little bush schools and things like that, and parents are starting to go there. I'm seeing all these community groups pop up everywhere. You can go here every weekend and connect with people. They're having barbecues. There's all sorts of people doing wonderful things, and I hope that I saw this community spirit up that way in Lismore, and I was just blown away. I couldn't believe these people got destroyed like that, and they got abandoned by this government, by this fake Prime Minister, and the ADF forces and police, completely abandoned and ignored, and the community did that, and they helped each other in that way. There was trucks going from down my way here in Sydney, taking furniture and books and clothes and things. People were organising parties I know of, and they were driving up there. The community spirit in Australia, the Aussie way, is just unbelievable to me, and I hope that we can find a way back to that, because we don't want to go down this path. To this digital dystopian, you know, transhuman sort of like place. This is not a good place for us to be in. And I hope that we can find our way back to where we really need to be, because we're on the wrong path, folks.
That's excellent and very good. That's a very good point to cap off our conversation on. It's untangle from this system the best way we can.
Yes.
Just a point on that. We could do a whole program on that, but just one point on it before we go. Don't connect any of these government services on your – don't have a MyGov account. If you can undo these things, if you've already got one, disconnect it. Go to the RTA or whatever it is to get your license, you know, pay cash. That's what I do. I use cash. I withdraw my wages, and I pay cash everywhere I go. Use the cards as little as possible. So there's a whole lot of things we can do to try and, you know.
Well, they want to make it digital, don't they, Leon? Now the driver's license in Queensland.
That's right. And that, we know that's coming.
Yeah.
But look, Adam, it's been good. Thank you for joining us today.
No,
it's
worries,
been a
mate.
Good conversation. I really appreciate the work you're doing. Encourage all our listeners to go over there and have a look and get involved. Alternative media is very important, and we need to support the people that are doing the work, because when you switch off the mainstream media, there are other people that are there analysing it and investigating it. We can only do so much, each of us, but it is so good now. There is literally thousands of alternative media operatives all around the world, and I'm grateful for this time. It is an amazing time to be living in. Difficult. There's difficult times up ahead, friends. Believe me. Food shortages, there's a lot of things coming which we haven't touched on here today, but I'm grateful for our fellow freedom fighters like Adam. Thank you, Adam. We'll do it again.
No worries, mate. Great to be with you, and we'll chat again soon, and just keep positive, folks, and there's a lot of us out there doing this together, and it's growing and it's spooking them, so we move forward and stay positive, and keep your family and yourself safe.
Thank you, folks. Until next time, God bless you all.